Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Robert Holly with Home Healthcare News. Before we jump into my conversation with Alara Caring CEO G. Scott Herman, I want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Homecare Homebase, whose powerful cloud-based home health software streamlines virtually every aspect of your business. Spend less time on paperwork and more time delivering quality care to the patients who need you. Visit hchb.com to learn more. Michigan-based Great Lakes Caring, Connecticut-based National Home Health Care, and Texas-based Jordan Health Services were, not too long ago, three separate home-based care providers. Backed by Blue Wolf Capital Partners and Kelso & Company, they came together in a three-way mega-merger back in May 2018, officially rebranding under the Alara Caring name in July. Scott Herman is at the helm of Alara Caring, which, by the way, is one of the largest home health providers in the country, serving more than 65,000 patients and their families daily with services spanning the continuum of personal care, skilled home health, and hospice care. Using predictive analytics to enable longitudinal care will be one of the keys for Alara Caring moving forward, as will its behavioral health offerings. I caught up with Scott about his plans for the company and cementing Alara Caring's place toward the top of the home health care food chain. Welcome to Disrupt. Thanks for joining Home Healthcare News for this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about Alara Caring.
Yeah, Scott, it's been really fun to follow the creation, the rebranding, and the direction of Alara Caring over the past several months. When we talk about Alara Caring, we're really talking about a new major player when it comes to home-based care. Though, of course, Jordan, Great Lakes, and National had been around for a while, right?
They have, and we're very excited to bring three market leaders together, joining three completely complementary footprints and creating a comprehensive service offering with skilled home health, hospice, personal care, and behavioral health. This is really a great opportunity to reshape things.
And, you know, for listeners who maybe haven't been as following as closely as I have, what is that company overview for Alara Caring in terms of service, in terms of size, and geographic footprint?
You know, as you said in your opening, Alara Caring is one of the nation's largest providers of home-based care. With a presence in the Northeast, Midwest, and Southwest, we currently have 225 offices providing care in 16 states with 35,000 team members, and we have an average daily census right around 65,000.
Yeah, it's definitely got some size to it. Could you kind of give me the backstory on how Alara Caring came together in the first place? You know, what were the goals of bringing together those three distinct companies? What strengths were you hoping to gain?
You know, Alara Caring was formed in May of 2018 with a vision to join three market-leading companies and form a post-acute continuum capable of making a national impact for chronically ill patients. Our size, geographic distribution allow us to concentrate our resources in many areas and hopefully change the care model by bending the cost curve and improving outcomes. It is our intention to establish a national platform that demonstrates lower total cost of care and improved outcomes along a longitudinal timeline. We seek to manage patients across years, not just days or weeks.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that longitudinal timeline in just a second. I know it's a really big point for Alara Caring. And then just in way of your background, you previously were in the CEO role of National Home Health and Jordan Home Health Services, if I'm remembering correctly, right?
That's correct.
Could you just kind of talk about that experience and, you know, transitioning into this overarching CEO role now?
You bet. As the CEO at Jordan Health Services, we were a regionalized skilled care and hospice player with a sizable personal care footprint trying to develop a continuum in a compartmentalized way. Our objective was to develop regional mass and become a platform that could be a launch for a product like Alara Caring. My move to National Home Healthcare was really based on Blue Wolf Capital Partners and their vision of creating a home care company that meets really post-acute care continuum needs and development. That move, coupled with the stellar clinical record of Great Lakes Caring, is what really brought these three companies together with a vision to design a post-acute segment like we discussed.
And for our listeners, in case they're wondering, Blue Wolf Capital Partners is one of the PE owners of Alara Caring along with Kelso & Company, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Well, that's a pretty good broad overview of Alara Caring, how it came together. Now that we got that out of the way, what are the key areas that Alara Caring is going to be focusing on moving ahead into 2019 and beyond? Again, I know longitudinal care is a main point there.
This year, we're focused on better understanding and managing large chronically ill patient populations. Chronically ill seniors in particular are best managed over that longitudinal timeline involving days, not years or weeks. To best aggregate long-term data and create meaningful clinical interventions, we have continued to align programs and large caches of data to manage and better serve this population. For example, a patient in our full care continuum has a 30-day all-cause rehospitalization rate of 7.5% when compared to the national average of 20% and 28% among chronically ill patients. This is a large part of our value proposition at Alara Caring, and it should also be very important to other providers as they begin to align with interest of scaled MCOs, large capitated health plans, integrated healthcare delivery systems, and of course, CMS. Additionally, we see opportunity in the behavioral health space as more and more patients seek long-term mental health support in the home.
Behavioral health is something that we plan on focusing more moving into 2019 as well. Definitely a hot topic. When you say behavioral health, though, I know it could have a lot of different meaning to different people. What are you thinking of exactly?
We define behavioral health as any support provided to patients in the home to support their mental health and well-being. Now, that's pretty broad, so I'll narrow it down a little bit. It's a growing segment for us at Alara Caring and a place where we see great opportunity for expansion. The home care industry inherently provides isolation, and that isolation can create several new issues, many of which are behavioral. To address patients in a holistic manner, mental health is one of those areas we must develop and we're focused on. Social isolation is a big focus of what we're doing with this expansion.
I know that social isolation, loneliness, those social determinants of health have been priorities for a lot of major companies. You know, I know insurer Humana has talked about those a lot. Why do you think that those are so important to focus on beyond just, you know, your regular, more medical related factors?
Home-based seniors suffer from a variety of conditions inherent to declining health conditions and aging, along with isolation, as we just discussed. As an industry, we struggle with the identification and treatments of behavioral health because we're focused on that medical learning. Mm-hmm. Our objective is to provide support services for our patient populations, adding another layer of support. We also serve patients with serious mental health disorders. One of the more alarming things that we uncover is that in our behavioral health program, about 40% of our patients are being seen for some sort of opioid or drug dependency. Addiction is a huge and growing segment in the home-based behavioral health business, and we're seeking to expand support for this patient population over the next several years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the opioid epidemic is a national problem, so it's definitely interesting to hear how home-based care providers could be a part of the solution there. Can you just kind of describe what that kind of program looks like? You know, when Alara Caring goes into a home to help a patient overcome opioid addiction, what are those employees doing? What are those caregivers doing?
Much like many segments of our healthcare business, our behavioral health business focused on opioid and addiction services is responsible for executing the plan of care for the patient and the most effective treatments for opioid addiction or medication regime compliance. So identifying distributed and disparate populations of patients, making sure that they're adhering to their regime of medications really helps keep that patient connected, helps them have access to the social systems needed to support that addiction, and really helps break the curve. We've really established a very impressive outcome around medication adherence and really working to help cure that population of patients. Identify them, keep them on the right track is a really, really important piece of that, which takes very good clinical execution.
I'm not sure you have any, you know, facts and figures on hand, but could you share any of those kind of exciting outcomes and results with us?
You bet. When we think about medication compliance for those opioid addicted patients, those patients that are in contact with our behavioral health program, which is today in the Northeast, expanding to other regions, have about an 86% compliance frequency, although we're in the high 90s on med compliance. And reoccurrence of those particular patients back to inpatient settings is very, very low when compared to those programs that are failing in medication compliance.
Obviously, you're a CEO and you have to know your business, but I'm always amazed when people are able to kind of just cite these statistics at the drop of a hat. We've talked about longitudinal care. We talked about behavioral health. We've gotten the overview of Alara Caring. Are there any other points of focus that you'd like to highlight in terms of 2019 plans?
You bet. There is an increasing awareness of the ties between mental health and physical well-being. Multiple studies suggesting that mental health stability leads to better outcomes and lower costs of total care. Opioids, we've talked about, and how the opioid movement is moving. But the opioid crisis in the United States has a tremendous impact, not just on economics in the country, but for the first time ever on longevity of the population. Mm-hmm. We know that it is important that at Alara Caring, we manage patients over that longitudinal time frame because we can control the environment and keep people, process, and technology in one good, solid place and position. Without that oversight of data and our ability to intervene and control the environment, we think that's why the health system's a little loose today. We know tightening that up really helps us focus. And in 2019, as we continue to expand our skilled home health business, our hospice business, our personal care business, our behavioral health business really becomes succinct and falls in line.
I'm kind of thinking back again to the overview of Alara Caring, and I'm just curious, when we talk about Jordan National Great Lakes, did they each bring unique strengths to the equation, or was each entity kind of similar in terms of operations?
At Alara Caring, all three entities brought unique opportunities to the table. Jordan had established the ability to move patients around with a continuum and establish some of those very critical elements that are quintessential in establishing a longitudinal continuum. Great Lakes had developed a very good organic sales model based on outcomes and data, the ability to bring new business into the organization and drive growth through their ability to partner with hospitals, health systems, and use data and the scientific analytics of that to show and demonstrate better outcomes. And National Home Healthcare had a great footprint in personal care and established some of the leading practices around which personal care patients are driven and how they work in really value-based purchasing agreements. Value-based purchasing in the Northeast has become something that's pretty prominent, and we currently have about 30 value-based contracts within the organization. So the three individual entities really give us a national platform where we can take the best of all worlds, blend them, and create a platform that we believe is going to make a significant difference.
This is just a quick reminder, but this is Home Healthcare News reporter Robert Holly. I'm here with Alara Caring CEO G. Scott Herman. Scott, shifting gears a bit here, I know that, and you've touched on this a bit already a couple of times, talking about data and Alara Caring's data capabilities. Could you kind of talk about how your company has been at the forefront of leveraging predictive analytics to identify negative health events when those might occur, you know, to make sure patients are in the appropriate setting, whether that's home health care versus hospice toward end of life? What's Alara Caring doing on that front exactly?
Yeah, the business of home care really requires consistency of information and data across all aspects of a patient's care continuum. At Alara, our success is attributed to the adoption of unique care continuum, or Caretinuum, as we've branded it. And we use the data to identify the most leading indicators of an impending exacerbation of illness. And most importantly, we intervene with the appropriate clinical resources to change outcomes, avoid hospitalizations, and extend the time patients remain happy and at home. Using those succinct data feeds, call centers and clinical intervention models are developed, we're able to correlate from multiple data systems and bounce that off historic trends in patient populations that help us identify when an event is about to occur. Calibrating that data out of our proprietary PCS system, we're able to correlate clinical interactions and data into external databases and use several tools, including Medalogix, to direct clinical interventions. The rest of, after the data collection, the identification and the analytics, the rest is just really good execution, getting clinical resources involved with the patient.
Medalogix, of course, is a name home healthcare readers are probably pretty familiar with. Amedisys actually invested in Medalogix in fall of last year, I believe. We've reported on a couple of their different tools, including Medalogix Bridge, which helps identify when a patient is appropriate for hospice care. Staying on this topic of predictive analytics for another minute or two, can you share any interesting results or observations that you've seen from specifically working with Medalogix? You know, even if it is maybe, as we just talked about, identifying smarter hospice transitions.
Yeah, Touch is a program we use to stratify risk and identify patients most at risk for rehospitalizations. Using that data, Alera Caring places those folks in a high-risk monitoring program that includes an automated calling schedule, clinical identifications, and interventions. Part of that helps us then drive some lower rehospitalization rates. We also have been leveraging the Nurture tool with a customized approach and algorithms to better initiate community engagement after patients have discharged from service. By reaching out to the highest risk discharge populations, Alera Caring is able to recapture many patients as they have changes in their clinical condition. One data point, for example, from September of 2018 to December of 2018, our post-discharging calling program led to nearly 4,700 patient clinical contacts and interventions, many preventing hospitalizations. Our Bridge program identifies about 250 patients on a monthly basis that are likely to be involved in hospice, and we get those people involved in hospice earlier, and those interventions help establish better clinical quality outcomes and very high patient and family satisfaction. Overall, the way we integrate our tools with our clinical transaction model, which is Home Care Home Base, we've been very pleased in our ability to customize the output of those products and create meaningful interventions.
And Medalogix Bridge is the tool that identifies smarter hospice transitions. I think it seems like a really cool tool just because we know that late hospice admissions has been an issue throughout the industry. You know, patients maybe not being aware of the hospice benefit until they're, you know, weeks away from end of life, when the benefit itself is for up to 6 months, right?
One of the things that we've been able to do with that data and Medalogix Bridge, that tool, is to be able to take that, customize our interactions and interventions, which are really the key to getting patients on board and admitted timely. And to your point, far ahead of that short window, the longer we have patients on hospice, the more impact we're going to be able to have psychologically, socially, keep pain in control, and change medical condition. And we found those to be very effective tools.
And obviously, if you have all of this data, you're collecting the data, and you could show that you're leveraging it, you know, you're gaining the ability to take actions from its insights. That's a big advantage when going to, you know, whether it's health system partners or health plans, I imagine.
We certainly have seen varied interest, most of it very high profile interest when we present to payers. A lot of times what we're doing with their existing population of patients and how we're able to intervene and make those interventions quickly. But your point is well taken. Data is data only to the extent that it's used and practical does it become valuable. But to be able to take data, put predictive analytics around it, build operating models, and have those operating models create meaningful impacts is a significant differentiator for Alera Caring. And it's safe to say we're receiving great traction in the market with that.
And I think in one of your earlier responses, you touched on risk sharing arrangements. Any more insight there that you could share with us? What's going on with Alera Caring in terms of risk sharing arrangements?
Currently, we have about 30 value-based arrangements, and those are really precursors setting us up for those risk sharing conversations. Our approach to risk sharing arrangements is one that we want to be in control of the environment where we're taking risk. And the amplitude of that control is regulated by our ability to control information and patient flow. Because we do believe and we have proven that patients in our model do drive those preferred outcomes. So those discussions in those arrangements are underway. and we're working those under some very specific dynamics that the organization has set forward to make those contracts happen.
So that's all some pretty exciting stuff, the data, the behavioral health plans, longitudinal care. I want to redirect the conversation another time. I don't think that there's going to be a single disrupt episode that we could do until 2020 when we don't touch on PDGM. Obviously, it's a major important issue to talk about. You know, we're only 9 or 10 months away now. What's Alara Caring doing to prepare for the patient-driven groupings model?
We, like every provider, are preparing for PDGM, and we're absolutely looking at the potential and overall impact. But our unique patient mix, care continuum, and data-driven predictive analytics approach with focus on that longitudinal care for patients fits nicely within the model. Like everyone, we're evaluating each of our markets and developing customized plans based on our analysis. But overall, we've developed and what we've developed and how we approach patient care gives us a very positive lens when assessing PDGM.
Are there any specific points of PDGM that Alara Caring is maybe not concerned about, but you know, really focusing on that could be potential challenges in the future?
As with every provider in the country, it's how the data is correlated and how it's applied, and patient case mix and the acuity mix of patients within the organization have an impact. Because we look at patients in that longitudinal focus, we tend to have a more chronic patient mix in general, with pockets of very acute measurement. But in those areas where we have chronic measurement over long lengths of time, lengths of stay, we're having pretty positive impact there. Because we've spent time developing tools to monitor those patients in that fashion, we have a pretty good feel for what's happening with PDGM, its impact, and how it actually has a positive uptick for the organization.
And I know there's a lot on the regulatory front going on, even apart from PDGM, even though that might be the number one topic. But anything else that's important to highlight, whether it's the review choice demonstration or something along those lines?
At a national level, we're focused on the future of Medicare Advantage with the addition of personal care services and the potential addition of hospice to MA plans. We view these changes as particularly positive for this organization and any organization that understands leading indicators and how to act on the data. Exactly how Alara Caring is built is what these programs play to. And because of that, we're very positive outlook on near-term changes. Mm-hmm. Highlighting state regulatory changes, we're focused on minimum wage and Medicaid budget conditions. Those are always top of mind.
Yeah. What's turnover like for Alara Caring? I know that when I have conversations with, you know, most people in home care, they still cite the caregiver shortage as the top issue, the top challenge. Just wanted to get your take on that.
Our turnover rates fit within industry standards. Now, obviously, we've just gone through a large integration of three companies, so you always get a little bit of an uptick in that area. We've pockets, like every organization, that have turnover challenges in particularly clinical development areas of nursing and therapy. But overall, our turnover remains within national averages, and we're focusing our contracts and some of the tools that we developed on how's utilization truly impacted, what's the appropriate skill level that can be on a visit. And we focus very hard on getting the right services to the right patients at the right time. Our mission, vision, values are right care, right time, right place, and that goes to our staffing model too. We don't want to oversource a visit, and we don't want to undersource a visit. We want the right care at the right time in the right place, and that's a strategy that's been pretty successful in managing our growth as it pertains to clinical staffing.
And we probably have time for maybe one or two more questions here before wrapping up this episode of Disrupt. I want to talk mergers and acquisitions outlook a bit, maybe private equity interests moving forward. As we mentioned, Alara Caring is backed by PE firms, Blue Wolf Capital Partners, and Kelso & Company. Scott, what's your take on what we're seeing in terms of M&A action?
We're likely to continue to see an uptick in consolidation across the industry. But there's a need to consolidate fragmented markets, and there's really a need to consolidate data in order to manage chronically ill patients. Recent activity in public markets and payer segments kind of supports this thesis. Roll-ups are going to continue, and there really seems to be no curbing the appetite investors have for the home care space. We think more and more home community-based continuums will evolve, and differentiation will come from technology development and the ability to intervene to drive positive financial and clinical outcomes.
In general, do you see one segment maybe being hotter than the other? I know a lot of people have pointed to hospice being particularly hot.
Well, certainly in the near term and in the mid-range, you're going to see skilled home health and hospice continue to be particularly hot. The multiples on hospice are reaching levels now where the return on investment is really going to be driven by market conditions. But there continue to be hot segments, growing segments in skilled care and hospice. And we're seeing an uptick in competition for assets in the personal care business as large providers are beginning to try to pull together continuums and leverage those continuums across a large geographic footprint.
How long do you think that those hospice multiples are going to stay up there for? Is there, you know, any headwinds in sight, or do you think we could probably expect, you know, in some cases, double digit multiples in the mid-teens for a while now?
Well, Bob, if I could predict that, we'd be having a completely different conversation here. Look, I think Scott's view is that those multiples will continue to be high and maintain the kinds of levels of values as long as the capital markets hold up. The capital markets will cause some of those things to tweak down in valuation, and then we'll see a resurgence when the markets recoup, providing, you know, that's all based on when those markets adjust. We know the economics of the aging population. We know the growth in the industry, static as well as organic growth forced within organizations. So I see no reason that the market in and of itself has a significant turn. We're going to have ebbs and flows that exist in all markets with regulatory changes and capital markets and external influence. But I see high multiples for a long time, and I'm not about to make a prediction on values. I certainly think an asset like Ilara Caring is very valuable in the markets and should drive very high multiples as the continuum comes together.
Is Ilara Caring looking to acquire in any particular segment? And if so, how does it go about sourcing deals? Does it try to do that internally? What does it look for in an acquisition?
Like all large-scale providers, we're always on the hunt for deals. We've done several in our past. We've done some even in this transitional period. And now as we're really locking in on having our integration completed and on target, we start to really source those. We do have an internal M&A team, and those M&A teams work with external brokers to source deals, and that ebbs and flows too with the market and in the particular geographies that we work with. We have a very disciplined focus around M&A, and it is first we want to fill out our footprint and get all the elements that drive our care continuum into our geographic footprint. We look for contiguous states to expand into, and we look at states that have good solid state programs as well as good solid growth opportunities in our skilled care and hospice world.
Scott, and kind of following up on this point, M&A activity, you know, large public payers have been looking at the home health industry and just home-based care overall as well. You know, you think of Humana going after Kindred at Home, going after Curo Health Services. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's something we'll see continuing?
Yeah, I certainly believe, and we have a thesis that says that large public payers, their need to really work in the Medicare Advantage world and control those patient populations, once again, for long periods of time, fits right into the wheelhouse of Ilara Caring. The need to have those covered lives and assets and companies that can provide that care across a long timeline in a controlled manner is pretty critical. And many of the conversations that we're having with those payers fit right into what we're building and why we're building it. How do we get patients to cross these care lines succinctly and in a controlled manner with great outcomes and increasing the length of stay? We believe there are going to be a lot more payer movement in the home care space, whether that's through acquisition, startup, along those lines.
I know I promised only one or two more questions, but I'm going to try to squeak one more in here. CMS recently decided not to renew its moratoria on home health agencies from opening up in Florida, Illinois, Michigan, and Texas. That's something it had had in place since 2013, I believe, and had renewed consistently on a six-month basis. That didn't happen once this past 6 months was over. What are your thoughts on that move and potential opportunities arising from that?
Well, we've obviously never been in favor of moratoriums in that they restrict access in an entitlement program, and not to have that debate on this podcast, but we're excited about opening up those states and no longer imposing that moratorium to the extent we can get state auditors and inspectors now to move along. We now, that opens up lines where we're heavily committed in several of these states to home care. That opens up our ability to do de novos and do those reasonably and get those in sync quickly to serve patients that aren't necessarily concentrated in metropolitan areas, as we have some rural models that have suffered from moratoriums and the extension of those things. But we believe that it gives us an opportunity now to take a continuum model like we've developed at Elara Caring and really reinforce it, filling out some of that footprint that we have across our geography. It's a very positive sign for us. It's confidence in the industry. It's a statement, I believe, that the industry is growing and needs to continue to grow, and we need to gain access, because that moratorium was actually counterintuitive to all of the bundled plans and low-cost alternatives that CMS has touted. So we're pleased about it and think it opens up a lot of opportunity.
That sounds like a good note to end this episode of Disrupt. Listeners, that's G. Scott Herman, CEO of Elara Caring. Scott, thanks so much for joining us on this home healthcare news episode of Disrupt. Always a pleasure to chat.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Robert Holly, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.